Okay, gentlemen, so what we were discussing yesterday is the first opinion in Tosfos on Daf Lamed Tesomet Aleph, where Tosfos tells us that there is a prohibition to put items in the kli sheni because it is mechzi kemevashel. It appears like you are cooking. Tosfos is working off of the position of the Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, there is a dispute between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam as to whether iruy, whether pouring hot water on an object, is that mevashel, does that cook it, or does it not cook it? The Rashbam says iruy is like a kli sheni, it does not cook at all. The Rabbeinu Tam says that iruy is like a kli rishon, and therefore the iruy cooks. So if that's the case, Tosfos is bothered by a question. How can we say that Dover Shaloba Bechamin Lofnei Shabbos, it's something that was not cooked before Shabbos? So Madichin also Bechamin Shabbos, you're allowed to pour hot water on it. How are you allowed to pour hot water on it on Shabbos? That's the question that Rabbeinu Tam is, that's a question, excuse me, that Tosfos is bothered by. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that you're not allowed to pour hot water on an uncooked item, how could it be that Dover Shaloba Bechamin Lofnei Shabbos, how could it be that you're allowed to pour hot water on this food item? So Tosfos answers, well, Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that we're talking about pouring hot water from a kli sheni. You're not pouring the hot water from a kli rishon, but you're pouring the hot water from a kli sheni. Tosfos says, well, that would imply that you're not allowed to put items in a kli sheni. And that is impossible. How could it be that you're not allowed to put items in the kli sheni? Throughout Judaism, we know that kli sheni does not cook. That's the question that Tosfos dealt with. Now, I should note that actually I have this volume and I keep it in my office. I don't look at it that often. It's a volume that my father sponsored. It was printed by Machon Ofek. It's called Tosfos Rihazaken the Talmidov. There are different versions of the Tosfos. So the Ofek Institute in Cleveland put out this version of the Tosfos on Shabbos. And I just peeked in it this morning. And the version of Tosfos here says, you know what? This is a collector's item. This is the one opinion in Judaism who holds that kli sheni actually cooks. Normally, we assume kli sheni does not do any cooking, but says the Tosfos Rihazaken b'Talmidav that maybe this opinion, which again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Iroi cooks, and if according to Rabbeinu Tam, Iroi cooks, so how can I pour hot water on the food that's uncooked? So Tosfos says, oh, you're pouring hot water from a kli sheni. Okay, great. That would imply that you cannot put the food in a kli sheni. Why not? So this Tosfos Rihazaken v'Talmidav says you can't put it in a kli sheni because this opinion holds kli sheni actually cooks. That's a little wild, but okay. Tosfos himself, however, the printed Tosfos on the page, if you're interested in knowing a little bit about the Tosfos, so Professor Ephraim Orbach has a book called The Ba'alei HaTosfos. It's actually translated into English. It's worthwhile getting. Tosfos is not an individual. There's a whole school of Ba'alei HaTosfos. The printed Tosfos on the page is usually the Tosfos of Tuch, Touques. That is how you say Tuch in French. So the Tosfos Tuch, the printed Tosfos says that what we are talking about is that putting food in a kli sheni is called mechzi kemevashel. You're not allowed to put food in a kli sheni because it appears like you're cooking. And Tosfos is bothered by your question. If it appears like I'm cooking when I put stuff in a kli sheni, how come I'm allowed to put spices in the kli sheni? So Tosfos answered, well, spices does not appear like you're cooking. And that's what we discussed yesterday in the context of spices. However, there are two other questions that are worth focusing on with respect to this opinion of mechzi kemevashel on the kli sheni. One opinion, one question is a Gemara on Daf Mem Amid Beis. The Gemara on Daf Mem Amid Beis tells a story. It's Mem Amid Beis, it's like 12 lines into the wide lines. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Pam achas nechnasti achar Rebbe lebeis hamerchatz. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi said, one time I followed my Rebbe into the bathhouse, and I wanted to heat up a pach shel shemen bambati. I wanted to heat some oil up. And what he told me is, you can't heat up the oil in the bathhouse itself. He said, tol b'kli sheni v'tein. Take the water out of the bath, so the water is now in a kli sheni, and then insert your oil into that water. So I see from that Gemara that you're allowed to put stuff in a kli sheni. How can I put that Gemara together with this opinion in Tosos? The opinion that we just learned in Tosos says I'm not allowed to put stuff in a kli sheni, because it is mechzi kimavashel. It looks like you're cooking. If that's the case, how can Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi have this conversation with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? And Rabbi says, oh, you can't heat up the oil directly. Tol b'kli sheni v'tein. The water into a kli sheni and then put the oil in. How can that be? Shouldn't that be a problem, mechzi kimavashel? So that's a good question. The answer, however, might be as follows. And we'll develop this answer as a little bit more in the next point. The Maharsha says, Tobikli Sheni Vitain might mean take a jug of oil and put it into the water. Perhaps there is a difference between putting an item directly into a kli sheni. In that case, it appears like you're cooking, and putting an item which is in a container in a kli sheni. Perhaps when the item is in the container, it does not appear as much like I am cooking. That's the suggestion that my friend, the Megillah Sefer, makes. Based on the Maharsha says that the case in the Gemara on Daf Mem refers to putting an item when it is in a keli. Again, there's a certain logic to it. Probably you're not pouring the oil directly into the hot water if you want to heat up the oil. Although, I'm not 100% sure. The case is he wants to bathe in hot oil in the sense of apparently it smooths the skin. There's something about it that makes it feel better. So it is possible that you're pouring the oil directly in the water, but the Maharsha says, no, we're talking about putting it in a keli, and therefore there is no mechzi kimavashel. Okay. Next question. Gemara on daf membeis amid aleph. It's membeis amid aleph at the two dots. The Gemara says, I'm allowed to put hot water into cold water. No saying Adam chamin l'toch tzonin, velo tzonin l'toch chamin. You could put hot water into cold water, but you can't put cold water into hot water, according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, I'm allowed to put hot water into cold water, and I'm allowed to put cold water into hot water, but b'med dvarim amurim, b'kos. This is only true if it is a kos. A kos means a kli sheni, right? The kedera, the pot, is the kli rishon. The kos is a kli sheni. So what does the Gemara tell me on daf mem beis amud aleph? Fascinating Gemara. Beis Hillel says, I'm allowed to put cold water into hot water on Shabbos. But I can only do that in a kos. I can only do it in a kli sheni. I can't do it in a kli rishon. Well, what's going on? According to our opinion in Tosfos, I cannot put cold water in hot water in a kli sheni, presumably, because I can't put anything in a kli sheni, because a kli sheni is mechzi kimavashel. It appears like I'm cooking. So how is it I'm allowed to put the cold water into the hot water? That's a good question. So there are two answers that I could think of to this question, or two answers that I saw to this question. Answer one is as follows. Mechzi kimavashel, when I say that something gives the appearance of cooking, that's because I take an item and I am heating the item. the bystander, the onlooker, is going to say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, this item was cold beforehand, and you heated it up. You made it hotter. So it's mechzikim avashel. It looks like you cooked. However, let's say the onlooker is going to see, hey, you know what? You had a lot of hot water beforehand. And now you put cold water into the hot water. Why did you do that? So let me give you a story. Right now I have a cup of tea. No? I made a cup of tea before. Here today I felt that my voice could benefit from some tea. I take the tea. I take a sip. It's too hot. I add cold water to it. Why am I adding the cold water to my tea? Do I want to make that cold water hotter? Or do I want to make my tea colder? Reb Akiva Eiger explains that the reason why I'm allowed to put stoning the tochamin, the reason I'm allowed to put cold water into the hot water, is because the onlooker, remember, I have a question. Isn't that mechzikim avashel? Doesn't it appear like you're cooking? The answer is, Reb Akiva Eiger says, no, the onlooker is not going to say you're cooking. The onlooker is going to say you're cooling it down. It's a very different process. Right? Once I'm in the world of mechzi, the world that yesterday we spoke about, we called it maris ayin. It has the appearance. Once I'm in that world, so then you have to question, what do people think? That's one answer that's given.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be basically based on Rove? You know, if I have Rove cold water, then I'm clearly trying to make that warmer, as opposed to if I have Rove hot water, clearly trying to cool that down.
Again, well, the case is I'm putting cold water into hot water. The simple use of language is, when they say I'm putting cold into hot, that there's a majority of hot and a little bit of cold. That's the way language is usually used. No? It's not necessary. And in fact, we're going to learn this sugya on Daf Mem Beis, God willing, and we'll discuss what happens when there's a lot of hot water, a little bit of cold water, etc., or a lot of cold, a little bit of hot. We'll discuss all of those scenarios, but for now, let's just leave it as it is. Which
it's a whole means, discussion right by Tata and Yuagava.
Again?
Isn't there like a lot of talk about, isn't there some talk about that by Tata Yuagava?
About what?
By Tata Gavar?
By Tata Gavar, there is a discussion of it. The Gemara in Pesachim, which is the basis of this conversation about Iroi, talks about if I have two items that come in contact with one another, the upper one and the lower one, which one wins? It's a discussion between Rav and Shmuel, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We pass as a matter of halacha Tata Gavar, that the bottom one wins. That, by the way, is the source of the Rashbam, that Iroi is a klisheni. Because if I pour hot water on top of a cold area and the halacha says that the bottom one wins, so then that teaches me that the pouring is like a klisheni, it's not cooking it. What Nadi is bringing up is the Aruch HaShulchan raises an objection to this entire halacha of Tata Agvar. The Aruch HaShulchan says, shouldn't it depend on the proportion, on the amount of hot item that you have, the amount of cold item that you have, it should all depend on that. That's a very hard question to answer, but fortunately, we don't have to answer that question now because that's not really our sugya. So we're going to take a deep breath, a sigh of relief, and we're going to go on. So again, how is it that the Gemara Daf Mem Beis says I'm allowed to put cold water into hot water? Shouldn't there be a problem of mechzikim avashel? So we said one explanation is that no, it's not mechzikim avashel, it's mechzikim mekar. The appearance that's given is you're cooling it down. That's what Reb Akiva Eiger says. The Prima Gadim in Eish al Avram Os Lamed Beis and in Eish al Avram Os Lamed Dalet, the Prima Gadim in two places suggests that there's really no problem over here. Because he says, I'm reading you the words of the Prima Gadim, Davka lo haniach gush b'kli sheni lishros mechzikim avashel. Only if I put a solid item in a kli sheni does it have the appearance of cooking. Masha inke mayim b'mayim shemis arvim yafe lo mechzi kimivashel. But if I put water into water and it all gets mixed up nicely, it does not appear like mechzi. It's not mechzi kimivashel. It doesn't have the appearance of cooking. Now, what does this prima gada mean? How come if I put a liquid in, it does not have the appearance of cooking? But if I put the solid in, it does have the appearance of cooking. What does that mean? So I would suggest as follows. I would suggest that maybe the appearance of cooking is not a precise enough term. What I'm dealing with is the appearance of cooked, not the appearance of cooking. In other words, if you walk into my kitchen and you see that I am putting food in a klisheni, you know that it's a klisheni. You see I have a hot water urn over here, and I have a cup next to the hot water urn, and I'm putting stuff into that cup. You know it's a klisheni. There's no mechzik mevashel. The onlooker is not going to think I'm violating Shabbos. It's not mechzik mevashel. But it might be that it's mechzi kimivushal, meaning you walk into my kitchen and there's an item that is wet and cooked. And you want to know, how did Schwartz cook this item? So there are two things over here, right? Schwartz cooked the item. It got hot, right? It could be that the item was cooked in a klisheni. Yes, it was cooked in klisheni. But the onlooker is going to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you cooked it in a kli rishon. The Maris Ayin over here is, I have cooked food. And I don't know exactly how you cooked the food. Even though you cooked it in a klisheni, but the Maris Ayin is that people will think you cooked it in a kli rishon. So I would contend that the dispute or the discussion here is mechzi kimivushal, not mechzi kimivashel. No one who sees the action that I'm doing will think I am cooking, but they will see the food. They'll see the product, and the product looks cooked, and they will think that I cooked it in a kli rishon. One second, Nady. If that's the case, I can understand the prima gadim. When the prima gadim says that there's only mechzi kimivashel on solids, not on liquids, what the prima gadim is getting at is the mechzi kimivashel is I have a chunk of meat. It's on my counter. Someone is going to think, oh, it's a hot piece of meat. It's wet. How did it get cooked? They'll think maybe it was in a kli rishon. But when I put water into water, so no one's going to take the water out and say it was cooked. That doesn't happen, right? So consequently, I would argue that the prima gadim's point that there's only mechzi kimivashel on a solid, not on a liquid, is eminently reasonable if I assume that the issue is mechzi kimivushal, not mechzi kimivashel. Nady had a question, then I see Ellie Fink has a question. Nady, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Shouldn't this mean that like any type of shahia is usser? Because I don't know if you cooked your cholent on low from before Shabbos, you cooked it on high from Shabbos morning. You can never have cooked food on Shabbos because it's your kimavushal.
That's an interesting question. In other words, you're saying shahia in a case where you're doing it on an open fire. If it is on a blech, so it's not a concern. But if it was that I cooked it on an open fire, you'll walk into my house and you'll say, hey, I cooked on Shabbos. That's a good question. I'm not sure. But let me one-up you. Okay? How can there ever be a din of mechzi kimivashel? Don't they have a halacha of being Dan Lekavskos? No, I see someone. I'm not sure. Did you do something that is proper al pi halacha, or did you not do something that's proper al pi halacha? Don't I have an obligation to think that what you did is proper? The Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer on Lashon Hara, spends a lot of time on these dinim of dan lekaf zchus. How can there ever be a din of mechzi? Right? Isn't it against the dan lekaf zchus? So the answer,
where's the assumption that the problem of a mechze is that other people think I'm doing wrong? Isn't the there's no clause whether it's about other people or about me, but in the side it's other people. Wouldn't I expect that problem would be that other people?
Again, this is what we spoke about this yesterday. Does mechze kemevashel, is it a subset of lifnei iver? Is it that you'll see I'm doing something, you might come to do it, or is it a subset of v'yisem nekiyem ha'ashemu miYisrael, that I should be above reproach? I should do things in a way that no one has questions. So how does this square with the din of being dan mekav zchus? So it seems to me that this is a klutz kasha. It's a klutz kasha because, yes, there's a halacha I'm supposed to be dan mekav zchus, but I think we all know that this halacha is honored in the breach, meaning people don't really fulfill this din of being dan mekav zchus. Now, Nadi's question about if I hold that there's a mechzi kemevushal, what about shehiyah? So I'm not sure, but I would argue that maybe the idea is that when you come into my house and you see food on an open fire, the assumption is that food is now where it used to be. Inertia plays a large role. So if there's food that's on the open fire, you'd say, oh, it was on the open fire for a long time. That's probably the way people will look at it, as opposed to if I have a piece of meat that's clearly wet, it just came out of the liquid, so then people might think it was done in a kli rishon. Again, I'm just making a suggestion to answer Nadi's question. Eli Fink, you had a question?
Yeah, well, the Prima Gadim and the Marsh answer for our version of Tosos, but the other version of Tosos would still be problematic, right? The version which said kli sheni is actually mevashel?
Yeah. So that version of Tosos that kli sheni is actually mevashel is the Maharsha will answer that. Because the Maharsha might say that kli sheni is only mevashel when there's no barrier. But when I have a kli, if I put the oil into a kli sheni, there's a barrier. So perhaps in that case, kli sheni is not mevashel. We might develop that later on. But the other case in the Gemara, how am I allowed to put cold water into hot water? So the only way around that is going to have to be based on the volume of cold water and the volume of hot water that I have, right? Because if you hold that like this wild and crazy opinion of this Tosis Rehazakim V'Talmidav, so then I don't know. Okay. I would not have quoted this if I had not just seen it around 45 minutes ago. But sometimes you're my guinea pigs and I mentioned to you ideas that I recently saw. So that's one point. Let's go on, gentlemen. Magen Avraham, Lahalacha, Paskins that there's a din of Mechzik and Mevash on the Kli Sheni. The Magen Avraham notes that it seems to be that Shulchan Aruch is against this. Grand. I do not understand how on earth the Magen Avraham could have his position. And I think Jake alluded to this yesterday, but let me elaborate on it as follows. What's the source of this position of Mechzi Kemevashel by a Kli Sheni? The source is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that Kli Sheni cooks. Rabbeinu Tam says that Irui, pouring hot water, cooks. So if that's the case, Tosis is bothered by a question. If Irui cooks, how can it be that Dover Shaloba Becham in Lefne HaShabbos Madicha Noso? How can you pour hot water on food that was uncooked? So Tosis answers, oh, we're talking about pouring hot water from a Kli Sheni. That would imply that I'm not allowed to put food into a Kli Sheni. And this is the trigger for Tosvos that Mechzi Kemevashel applies. Now let's take a step back. There is really three maybe four, but we'll talk about three today, three opinions about Iri. When I speak about pouring hot water onto food on Shabbos. So we have the Rashbam, that Iri does not cook at all. I have the Rabbeinu Tam, that is quoted by us, that Iri cooks, and you get the impression that Iri cooks thoroughly, through and through. There is another version of the Rabbeinu Tam. It's found in Zvachim and Daf Tzadi Hei and elsewhere, Psachim Daf Mem. The other version of the Rabbeinu Tam says that Iri cooks partially. Iri cooks what's called a kadei klipa. So if I pour boiling water onto a food, the top surface level of the food that the boiling water touched, that surface level gets cooked. But the Iri does not cook through and through. Again, when we'll learn the Tosfos on Daf Mem Beis, we'll have to have a discussion about what exactly is the position of the Rabbeinu Tam. But the impression I get from reading Tosis on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the impression I get is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Iri is a Kli Rishon, you get the impression that pouring hot water is mamish cooking, and it will cook through and through. Right? There are huge nafkaminas between this, no? If Iri cooks through and through, so let's say my pot became treif, right? Pots become treif sometimes, so you have to kasher the pot. Well, if I have a really big pot, it's hard to kasher it because I need a bigger pot to insert it into it, to kasher it, right? Well, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I have a very easy suggestion. If Iri is mevashel through and through, if it thoroughly cooks, take a chaynik, take a kettle of hot water and pour it all over the pot and kosher, 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 chick, chack, boom, because Iri is mevashel through and through. There is such an opinion, and it's entirely possible that our Tosos is of that opinion, that Rabbeinu Tam says Iri cooks through and through, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by the question, well, how can you do Iri on the uncooked food? It has to be that you're doing Iri from a kli sheni, and therefore there's a prohibition of putting food into a kli sheni itself. But, says the Eglei Tal, Sochit Shavu Rebbe, the Eglei Tal in Simin Lamed Aleph, the Eglei Tal says, you know what? According to the other opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, according to the opinion that Iri only cooks Kedei Klipa, according to the opinion that Iri does not cook through and through, it only cooks the surface level, so then if I pour hot water on food on Shabbos, how much of that food gets cooked? Just the surface level, correct? Well, here's the thing. When I cook the surface level, do you think you are cooking that surface level completely? Or do you think you are cooking that surface level to the extent of Macho Ben Drusai? Right, when I pour hot water on a piece of meat, do you think that top level of the piece of meat that gets cooked, do you think it cooks it through and through? So that if I would take a knife and cut off the top level, it would be well done, or it would be, right, it's a well done steak or medium rare steak, whatever it is? Or do I assume that Iri only cooks Kemacho Ben Drusai? If Iri only cooks Kemacho Ben Drusai, which is a relatively logical assumption, so then I have to contend with an issue as follows. The Rambam tells me in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes, Hiniach Basa Agabe Gecholim, if I put meat on coals, im nitzla bo kigro geres, if the amount of a fig gets roasted, afilu b'shnayim u'shloshim u'komos, chayiv. Even if it's a grogeres that's spread out, right? I have a little bit over here, a little bit over there, I'm still chayiv. Aval nisbashel kulo chatzi bishel. If it cooks not a complete way, it's only cooked halfway. It's cooked what I would call macho ben drusoy. So says the Rambam, if it's only cooked mitzad echod am putter, ad yahapoch bo v'yispashel chatzi bishel mishnei tzdadov. Zuck the Rambam, that if you're cooked, and it's a Gemara in Menachos Andaf Nun Zayin, if I'm cooking food to the level of partial cooking, to the level of Michael Ben Jerusoy, so then I'm only chayiv if I cook it on both sides of the food. You're not chayiv on partial cooking if it's on one side. If that's the case, explains the Egleital, Tosfos would have no question at all, according to the opinion that Eroi cooks Kedei Klipa. Again, Tosfos' question is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Eroi cooks, so how can it be that Adover Shaloba B'chamin Lefnei HaShabbos Madichin Oso B'Shabbos, something that was not cooked in Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to pour hot water on it. How are you allowed to pour hot water on it? Isn't that a violation of cooking? Answer, no, it's not. It's not a violation of cooking at all, because it's only cooking Kedei Klipa. Right, only cooks the outermost level. And even that outermost level, when it cooks it, it's not cooking bekulo. It's presumably cooking kemacho ben drusai. Once it's cooking kemacho ben drusai, there can be no obligation. There is no chiyuv unless it cooks on both sides. So therefore, the Dover Shaloba B'cham Lefnei HaShabbos is going to be Heter Gomor, explains the Avnei Nezer. It's absolutely permitted to cook it, because cooking on one side, which the Gemara says in Menachos, and the Rambam Paskins in Perek Tes Halacha Hey, is Aser Midrabanan, that's only Aser Midrabanan if I'm cooking it on the coals itself. Because when I'm cooking it on the coals itself, it's likely that I'm going to end up, right? It's likely that I'm going to end up turning it over and cooking it. But when I am cooking it in a container, I'm not cooking it on the coals itself, so then there is no problem. It is heter gomor. It is absolutely permitted. This is what the Egleital suggests. We mentioned the Egleital is Simen Lamed Aleph, Os Gimel primarily. Os Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. That's really where it is. I think I assigned this on the Mar Makomos. I don't remember anymore. I have like no recollection. But here it goes. If this is correct, and of course it requires a large amount of creativity to say this, but you got to give the Avnei Nezer credit. By the way, the Avnei Nezer is the Rebbe of Rav Michal Forschlager, who is now our great hero of the Jewish people. The Avnei Nezer, the Egleital, same person, his suggestion is that it is heter gomor to pour hot water on food if you hold that Iroi is mevashel kedei klipa. If that's the case, so then I do not understand why the Magen Avraham would quote this opinion of Mechzi Kimavashel at all. Because that opinion of Mechzi Kimavashel is only within the rejected opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. It's only within the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam that Eroi cooks through and through. But if you hold like the accepted opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that Eroi cooks Kedei Klipa, so then you have no question at all. Then you do not have to come up with a chiddush of Mechzi Kemevash on the Kli Sheni, and we can go home and put stuff in our Kli Sheni and be happy. That is my comment over here. Now, just if you're interested in developing this idea further, do any of you have the Shvisas HaShabbos? Is it on Hebrew books, by the way? Okay, so gentlemen, a reason to come back to campus is there are Sfarim here. You could actually look in the Shvisas HaShabbos, right? Do I need to give you a better reason to return to campus, right? So, again, if you're worried about health, I understand. But one second, Jake. But the Shvisas HaShabbos in Os Nun Tes has a whole essay as to maybe it should still be forbidden to pour hot water on food, even though it's going to only cook kemacho ben drusai, even on one side, because maybe that's considered a chatzi shir of bishul. And we paskin the chatzi shir is aser min ha-tayra. The Gemara Yuma says that I'm not allowed to eat a tiny bit of any food. So maybe of tray food or food on Yom Kippur. I can't just take a morsel. So maybe this will be a chatzi shir. That's what the Shvisas HaShabbos raises the issue. Then the Shvisas HaShabbos gives you a whole exchange of letters he had with an anonymous Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. He doesn't tell you who the Talmud Chacham is because he thinks this Talmud Chacham is completely wrong. And the question that they discuss is that maybe chatzi shir, Aser Men HaTorah, only applies to quantitative shiurim. Is Machol Ben Drusai a qualitative shiur or a quantitative shiur? That's the conversation that they have, and it's a beautiful, beautiful discussion. You could see why Chaim Soloveitchik loves the Sefer so much just by reading Se'if Katan Nun Tes over here. Mr. Jacob Stern, how are you?
God, and I'm especially well with this Magen Avraham. This Magen Avraham sits very well with me. I mean, passing the Tosos, if you're going to pass in Rabbeinu Tam, even if you pass in the other version of Rabbeinu Tam that Iwai only cooks Kedei Klipa, this Egle Tal has like four assumptions working into it. I'm very comfortable if he disagrees with any one of the four assumptions. Once again, well, I can offer out all these things everywhere else. I don't know if it's clear that he holds
okay,
it.
Okay, so again, so let's go slowly. The main assumption that the Egle Tal is making is that in order to violate Bishul Kedei Klipa, it has to be, in order to violate Bushel Kamacho Ben Drusai, it has to be that you cook it on both sides.
Right.
That's the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha. Gentlemen, look in, wait, we like Mishnah Brura, that's what we decided the other day. Look in the Mishnah Brura, in the Sha'ar Hatzion, Simin Shin Yud Ches Os Hei. Okay, gentlemen, the Mishnah Brura you can find, right, online. It exists. Mishnah Brura, Sha'ar Hatzion, Shin Yud Ches Os Hei. Zuck the Mishnah Brura. He says, I got a question. Here's my question. How could you possibly violate Hilcha Shabbos with Irui when it only cooks on one side, right? Al Ikar Hadin Shal Huskar B'Gemara, that Michael Ben Drusai requires two sides, Yesh La'ayin, because we paskin in Se'if Tes and the Magen Avraham, the Irui cooks Kedei Klipa, and it's only Macho Ben Drusai, and it's only on one side. So how could there be any problem at all? The Mishnah Brura is bothered by this question. Right? So yes, the Avni Nezer says in a more creative way, in terms of deflecting our Tosfos, but this question is a relatively, it's not a completely unknown question. Right, it's a question that, to a certain extent, appears in the Mishnah Brura as well. Okay, gentlemen, this is what I have to say about Mechzi Kemevashel in a klisheni. My understanding lahalacha is that although the Magen Avraham paskins this way, and although the Mishnah Brura in Se'if Katan Lamed Daled paskins like that Magen Avraham, I don't know if we have to be nervous about Mechzi Kemevashel and the Klisheni. It's really the second opinion in Tosfos seems to have much more traction in Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the second opinion in Tosfos. The Mishnah Brura is very machmir. He paskins like the first opinion in Tosfos. Even if I hold that there's Mechzi Kemevashel and the Klisheni, what we noted is it does not apply to liquids. It does not apply when something is in a container. It does not apply to tavlin, to spices. And what exactly is considered Tavlin is also a subject of dispute. We had a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, whether onions are Tavlin. The Mishnah Berura in Se'if Katan Mem He talks about pitcha. Do any of you know what pitcha is? Any of you have like Hungarian grandparents? Right? So pitcha is basically jellied cow's feet. Right? And hat pitcha is a maichel by some people. Please, if you like it, don't tell me because I will consider it lashon hara that you're saying about yourself if you like pitcha. But the Mishnah Berurah Se'if Katan Mem Hei discusses people who have pitcha on Shabbos. Are they allowed to put onion in their pitcha? Is it going to be an iser of mechzik mevash on the kli sheni? It's onion. Onion might be tavlin. The Mishnah Berurah says amachmir. The onion is not tavlin. And amachmir, you should not put onion in a kli sheni. Right? Again, so it seems to me like there are so many chumras that we're piling up over here. But that nonetheless is what the Mishnah Berurah concludes. Okay, gentlemen, are we ready for the next piece of Gemara? We have a few minutes. I'd like to start the next piece of Gemara because this is like a classic. Says the Gemara says, remember, the Mishnah has a machlokas. Am I allowed to take my egg? And the Tanakhama says, lo yafki ena besudarin, which we had two explanations. Either it means don't crack the egg on a handkerchief, or it means don't wrap the egg in a handkerchief. Rabbi Yossi says, I am allowed to wrap the egg in a handkerchief. So the Gemara has a question. The Gemara asks, v'hod etnan, didn't we learn? Nosten tav shelotoch habar b'shvil shehe shamur. V'es hamayim hayofen b'ra'im b'shvil sheyitzaninu. I'm allowed to put food into a pit in order to protect the food. I could put good water into cold water to cool it down. I could put cold water in the sun to warm it up. That's the way we have the girsa. I could put the cold food into the sun in order to warm it up. That's why we have the text. It happens if you look in the Rif in Perek Chavis, right, where this Mishnah appears on Kuf Nun Vav. The Rif over there has a text, Es Hatzonein Bichamin. You could put cold water in hot water, which is what we were talking about a few minutes ago, no? But one thing I see here, the way we have the text in the Mishnah, the way it appears on Daf Lamed Tes, is I could put cold water, Bichama. I could put cold water in the sun in order to warm it up. So the Gemara says, Leimer Reb Yosihi v'lo Rabbonon. You're going to tell me that that Mishnah only works according to Reb Yosi, not according to the Rabbonon. Is that true? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. It's not true. Amar Rav Nachman, Bichama kuli amalo pligi d'shari. B'todas ar kuli amalo pligi d'osar. Ki pligi b'todas chama. The Gemara develops an idea that we'll discuss. By the way, tomorrow is Tuesday. I'd like you guys to do this sugya. Maybe tomorrow I'll give a shiur on a different halacha topic, a halacha topic perhaps related to the parasha or something along those lines. And we'll have the next Gemara here on Wednesday. I could give you some more Mara Makomos about the sugya that we'll do, which is this sugya. Ostensibly, what it says in this sugya is, ready, gentlemen? It says in the sugya that cooking in the direct sun is permitted. Heter gomor. Cooking in fire, forbidden. Cooking in something that got its heat from fire is also forbidden. Cooking in something that was heated by the sun, that's the machlokas Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. Right? If I cook in something that was heated by a fire, that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. What about cooking something on a handkerchief that was heated in the sun? Rabbi Yossi says that's permitted. The Chachamim say that's forbidden. Betodos Chama is the Machlokes. The Machlokes is, do I make a gezerah of Todos Chama unto Todos Ha'ar? What we will talk about tomorrow, God willing, is why is it, not tomorrow, we decided it's Wednesday, I'm sorry. Why is it that cooking in the direct sun is, actually, would guys prefer regular Gemara Shir tomorrow, and maybe we'll have another Shir on Thursday? Vote Gemara tomorrow, anyone? Ben, I see one, I see Ben is voting for Gemara tomorrow.
Thursday I vote for.
What?
Alternative Shear Thursday.
Alternative Shear on Thursday. Anyone else want Alternative Shear on Thursday rather than Tuesday?
Tuesday best for me.
Tuesday is best for you. Okay, so we're going to have Alternative Shear on Tuesday just because the way the votes work now, according to my very statistically significant sample over here. sorry, Ben, I apologize. But cooking in the direct sun is Heter Gomer. Heter Gomer. Why that's true, we're going to have to discuss. Look very carefully at the Rashi. Very carefully. And think about what Rashi could have said and Rashi didn't say. And then I gave you Mara Makomas. I gave you an Egle Tal, an Igris Moshe, Rib Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And then I want to have a conversation also about solar heating systems, right? In Israel today, and in many places of the world, we are, again, one of the conversations that's relevant for November 3rd is called the Green New Deal. One of the issues that comes up is our nation uses less solar heat than other countries. Cooking in solar heat is pretty prevalent throughout the planet at this point, no? Is it mutter or usser to cook on solar heat on Shabbos? That's a question that we'll have to discuss. And Od Chazon L'Moed, we'll pick up on Wednesday. Wednesday, I think we can finish here a little bit later already, because once we'll be on campus, so Mincha will be in this building. But gentlemen, have a wonderful day, and Zay Gebencht, all the best.
Rebbe?
Yes, sir.
Is electricity theoretically, not to open this kind of room, it's too early, but is that theoretically going to be closer to Toldos Ha'or or Toldos Ha'chama? Because, meaning, I get my electricity from the sun, but then I use it to turn my stove into a red-hot metal.
Right. Again, so once it becomes a red-hot metal, so I think that's real fire. I don't care how the fire developed. You know, when Odom HaRishon came up with that first fire on Motzei Shabbos, right? So whether you do like Fred with the Flintstones, or whether you make the fire with some other source, it doesn't matter what the source of a fire is. We'll discuss tomorrow. Let's say or Wednesday, whatever it is. Let's say I have a magnifying glass and the sun goes through the magnifying glass and it goes on leaves. Everyone tried this as a kid, no? And then the leaves burn. You have a real fire. Let's say then you take your pot and you put it on those leaves and you cook it. You cook food. That's cooking in fire as a matter of halacha. No one ever in the history of Judaism disagreed with that. That's cooking with a fire. It doesn't matter that the original source of fire is, right? But what I'm talking about is water that is heated in a solar heating system, and then I am cooking in that water on Shabbos, no?
Right.
If I have a Dud Shemesh, like they have in Israel. So that's the question that I want to talk about on Thursday, and God willing, Wednesday, whatever up to. I have no conception of days. We'll pick up from there. Okay, gentlemen, have a great day. Okay.